run, oh yeah. Recovery 101 is a sober show, the only place to go. Bruce and Shelly and Mark, let them light the spark to stay on the right track. Or just listen for fun to the 101, to the 101. Recovery 101. Recovery 101.
Thank you to Brandon for Marva's Recovery 101 jingle. Recovery 101 does not speak for AANAOACAGAPASLAACRRRMMDRAFANRA.
Any of the Anons.
I'd speak for the NRA. Sure, why not?
Yeah.
They don't want me to, but I would.
I would, and they'd probably be okay with it.
Welcome to Recovery 101. My name is Bruce B., as always, with
Shelley
and Mark.
Sweet.
Dude. Sweet.
Wonder if people ever listen to that and go, what the hell are they doing?
Dude, where's my car?
Because I don't even remember how that came up. Except for Dude and Sweet are kind of like the same period, time period.
Because you know what?
Thing.
My son was home one day and he was watching Dude, Where's My Car? Which is where that comes from.
Oh,
and
is
you
it?
Said, and you said something, you said, Sweet. And I said, Dude.
Dude.
He just kind of started it.
Sweet. Now what happens in meetings? And when you're not there, I have to pick up the slack.
Thank you, Shelley.
So, how was your day, Shelley? Now, remember, I want to encourage people at home to remember that we record these shows, we pre-record them, and then we put them up. So when you listen to this show, Christmas for sure will have already happened. Yet, things we're doing right now may involve getting ready for Christmas, and people might be like, what the F is going on? So that's why. How was your day, Shelley?
Better than the other days this week.
You're feeling a mite under the weather?
Alrighty then.
It's not necessarily under the weather. It's just that all of my test results came back and my RA factor had gone up 3 points and my vitamin D and calcium levels are just this side of rickets, which explains a lot. And my SED rate is through the roof and there's all kinds of RA related. I mean, progression is what she calls it. Okay. So now they started me on a new medication, which is
chemo medication.
First time you've ever been called a progressive, huh?
Huh?
First time you've ever been called a progressive.
That is
huh?
the first time I've ever been called a progressive. I am progressive.
They gave her a chemo drug. So she
which
made
I
these.
I think we talked about a little bit on the last show.
We did.
She made these cool beanies.
Yeah.
They have holes through them.
I have one.
She's gonna pull her ponytail through that beanie, and she's going to be standing there. It's going to look like a horse tail.
I was looking for the purple hair because.
The purple hair, that's what all this stuff is.
Almost happened
on Friday. Hopefully will happen before Christmas.
Okay.
We will see what happens.
They can't do it the way it is because her hair is too healthy. They need to bleach it.
I was happy with, because I started the medication on Monday. Mm-hmm. This is when I tried in pill form that I could not tolerate at all. Mm-hmm. And I was not able to eat for most of the week, but the nausea was nowhere near as bad as it was with the pill. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping I'll adjust, and because this is a really good med for this type of thing, and if I can just adjust to this and it'll help, I'm hoping, I'm praying that this will work. So we shall see.
And let's see now.
And I didn't fall down in the choir loft today. I was really excited about that. Yeah.
Well, I'll save this one story for my part. How was your week, Mark?
My week was good. I was in Midland, Texas, most of the week.
Really?
Oh,
what's the temp? Because Texas is one of those
Bush
weird
territory.
So
it's one of those weird states because some parts of the state is cold as F, and some parts of it is straight desert.
I fly in on Wednesday. Got there Wednesday night. It was okay. It was a little chilly.
What's
Thursday,
a little chilly in Midland, Texas?
Well, it was in the.
Or did you fly into Dallas or Fort Worth?
I flew into Midland. It was in the low 50s in the evening.
All right.
So the next day,
California chilly.
I head out at 10 a.m. It's 38 degrees.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's 38 degrees throughout most of the day.
Yes.
I go back to my hotel. Then we go out for dinner.
Because I go back to my hotel, turn on the heater.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Then we go out for dinner, and it's 48 degrees at 8 o'clock at night. So it warmed up as it got dark.
That's interesting.
Wow.
The next day, it was 77 degrees.
Oh, nice.
The next day it was 42 degrees.
So wow. When they
I gotta imagine people walk around with a cold all spring.
Or 47 layers of clothes that they strip off and put back on.
You know what?
Like
I figured out what it is. The weather out there needs some meds because right now it's going up and down like a roller coaster. Mm-hmm.
So when they say, and you know how everybody says, oh, if you don't like the weather here, wait 5 minutes, it'll change. And they're kidding. They really mean it in Texas,
they
don't
really
they?
They really do. Because, so it was, one day was pretty darn cold. The other day was warm and windy.
So we're up having coffee at our favorite coffee place, Cafe X2O, Glendora, California. A little shout out to them. They we're sitting out there. There is 0% chance of rain because it rained for like, a couple of days. 0% chance of rain. We're sitting out there. There's other people around. Shelly says, did you feel a drop? And a girl at the next table goes, I felt a drop. Within 15 seconds, it was a literal
deluge,
downpour. And I mean, fortunately, I did not have my computer open on the table because I hadn't gotten it out yet. But if I had, it would have been bad. Mm-hmm. And people are literally running. The guys from X2O are going around grabbing people's stuff off tables, taking it inside. Just 5-10 minutes downpour. So they're like, they're a hookah place, everyone sits outside. They're like, they close everything up. We're driving down the street. 10 minutes later, you could see stars everywhere. It was perfect. And we're like, oh, my God.
And there were two badass Mamma Jammas out there playing some kind of board game, and they were under an umbrella.
Well,
the
he put
the umbrella right when the rain sprinkled,
it
was only going to be light.
One of the guys put an umbrella up. By the time they got over to where our table was to try and put up an umbrella, they just said, forget it.
But the two guys playing the game didn't even blink. Didn't even the one guy reached out. The one guy reached out, I saw him, and pulled his hookah like a foot closer to him. And then they just kept playing. I mean, it is pouring. There's water pouring off this umbrella. I know that they're getting wet because the splashing splashback. They were in the middle of the game. They were going to finish the freaking game.
It's a game.
Yeah. You're alcoholics right there.
We're all inside staring out the window at them going, dude, those guys are nuts.
They're going to drown.
Well, and they've got those hookah coal burner things that looks like a barbecue.
Yeah.
That thing, and those things burn hot.
And for a while.
It was out.
Yeah.
It was out within a minute.
Wet.
I mean, it just...
They rolled it right inside, and it was leaking coal ash underneath because there was so much water going through it.
So, let me ask you this, Shelly.
What?
Here's a question of the week.
Okay.
What was your favorite Christmas gift this year? She'd give me that look like, you just got finished telling everyone that by the show this goes up, Christmas will be over.
Have I gotten any yet?
I got one. You got one.
I did, but now I can't remember.
You got a barista.
Oh, my barista. That's right. Bruce got me a barista from Starbucks, one of the new additions.
I got a Clark Griswold ornament with him holding the turkey.
I see that.
That has the grace that whatever the aunt
I
does, the great
agents.
Aunt does.
Aunt Bethany. Wherever. Great Aunt Bethany.
Aunt Bethany. Yeah.
The blessing. They want you to say the blessing.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States. And everybody stands up.
Yeah.
That's fantastic. Have you gotten anything yet, Mark?
I love that box of cigars you got me.
The what? The what?
The box of cigars you got me. Him.
Oh, yeah, no. Can't even buy myself a box of cigars. Listeners.
It's true.
You know what? You know who's sent me cigars before?
Quite often.
Quite often, actually. Yeah. It's been Bill Piper.
Yep.
We've had him on the show before.
The cigars?
Yeah.
And Bill.
I sent him one of these sweatshirts. With one of these, right?
Yeah.
I'm wearing the Lynchburg
Rule 62
recovery shirt, sweatshirt.
We sent him one of those, and I tried to, this year, put together this theme gift for Bill, and it was better in my head than it turned out to be an execution. And I thought, I can't send this to him, and then I thought, it's Bill. Of course I'm going to send it. He'll laugh his ass off.
Great plan.
So
poor execution.
Yes.
Got it.
So I sent it, and And what he, some of it was wrapped and some of it wasn't wrapped. Mm-hmm. And the wrap stuff he hasn't opened yet, so I'm just waiting. Oh, wait, he has opened. And he thought it was hilarious.
Okay,
okay, you threw me off with this whole before Christmas, after Christmas thing.
This is not to put off any other show listeners, you know, because, you know, because there's many show listeners that could conceivably have gotten gifts from us. Fran, of course, we're going to wait to give her her gift in person.
Oh, yeah? Is Fran coming out?
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
But oh yeah, we'll give it to her in person. Oh okay. Yeah, see, I went there.
Yeah, you kind of went there.
She's looking at me like, "What are you planning on giving her?" I can't tell you.
Okay,
I'd have
you go.
To kill you.
You go.
Recovery should be celebrated. At my12stepstore.com, celebrate your life with the most unique gifts for all 12-step programs. My12stepstore.com carries a wide range of inspirational and program books, t-shirts, chips, medallions, 12-step jewelry, and so much more. For you or someone you love, visit My 12-Step Store in West Hollywood or shop online at my12stepstore.com. We ship to the world. My12stepstore.com, where love meets service.
You know what that means.
What?
What's time for the boozy news and the news not fit for booze?
Your dudes are off.
Yeah, they were a little off that time. It's okay.
And once again, I sat down without my glasses. Woohoo. We have shout outs to Melissa, Lisa, John, Bill, Fran, John, Joey, James, Natalie, Sally Stryker, Randy, Dakota, Georgette, Alexandria, Susan, Jack, Jane, John, number two, Mitch, Dan, and Herdod.
What?
I hope I spelled that right.
Did you say Mitch and her
Mitch,
dog?
No, Mitch, Dan, and Herdod.
Is oh, Herdod is the name. Is
no,
the name.
Herdod. Herdod.
Is Herdod. Okay.
Yes, it's Herdod. A new listener.
Herdod.
Herdod. Herdod.
H is I hope probably, I spelled that. The H is probably silent.
Okay.
Possibly.
Have to let us know.
Yes,
he or
let
she.
Us know.
Is it a he? It's
I
probably a he.
I don't know.
I think it's a he.
Okay. Well, Herdod, let us know. How do we pronounce your name? And are you a male or a female?
Herdod.
You can comment on this show. The first couple stories I found over the course of the week, this one made me lol. It happened in San Bernardino, which is local
California,
to us.
Dude.
There is in San Bernardino an adult toy store called Lotions and Lace.
There is.
Okay.
Not that we would know. I get all my lotions and lace there.
Well, apparently, the two women that were working there earlier
Street,
this week.
Maybe?
Highland. I mean, I don't know.
More towards Highland, yes.
Anyway, it's basically what we're saying here is that I'm doing this show with two hoes.
Yeah. And?
And?
I mean, it's after Christmas, point? But.
Oh, ho, ho, ho.
The two women, let's see, Amy and. I'm looking for. Oh, it just says her coworker. I guess the other woman didn't want to give her name.
Yeah.
That were closing up that night last Wednesday. A man came in, pointed a gun at Amy, and she. And I'm going to quote her here. I just thought he was trying to be funny to scare us, and then I saw the gun and I was like, "Really? I don't have time for this."
Perfect.
They beat him off. With dildos.
Perfect. Wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute, wait a minute. They did what?
They beat him off. Okay, I didn't mean it the way it sounded.
Yeah, we know.
Crap. You know what I mean? Yeah. They drove
That's
him
okay.
off.
Your story was better.
Yeah, it sounds better
they
that way.
They drove him off with dildos and by pelting him with other sex toys and paraphernalia. The guy has a gun and they just start.
They
and
should
you,
have cuffed him.
There's actually a video of what they're calling the money shot where the women
the
are pelting him
shot.
With sex toys and he's like running away with his head covered. So if you want to look it up, you can look it up.
So the money shot doesn't involve.
No.
Okay. Just checking.
I'm also going to quote Amy again here. I was just really irritated. This shit does not happen in my store.
Oh, I beg to differ.
She and
her
coworker
get beat off in your store all the time.
Yeah, what normally? How do you normally beat someone off in your store?
She and her coworker also explained that dildos. Some of the dildos do have some weight on them if you throw them properly.
Thanks for sharing.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I
kudos to Amy and her coworker.
I would have loved it if they'd have taken him down and handcuffed him with fur handcuffs. That would have been awesome. And then shoved a dildo.
Yeah, you know, there are some of those, I don't know, you can't really call them prosthetics, but there are some of those toys that I'm sure are quite weighty.
I'm sure they
are.
You
ever see the one? You ever see the video with the little kid? He's running around his mom's bedroom, and he has a rather large dildo, a two-headed one, and he's running around, and he's shaking it. It's going, wow, wow, wow. And she's like, give that back to me. And the husband's phone, or the husband is cracking up. And I'm like, yeah, I'm sure she's really happy that got posted on YouTube. And now everyone, because the thing's got like 4 million views.
Yeah.
So like everyone she knows now knows that she has a girlfriend or something else.
And going in the completely opposite direction.
Or her husband's really into some stuff that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Next story is about my people. The Patapsco United Methodist Church near Baltimore, Maryland. These are my people. Reverend Katie Grover, arrived at church to find a $12,000 citation from the city on the door of the church.
Yep.
According to the citation, that the church was to immediately cease exterior use of the property as housing units.
What?
Because the church lets homeless people sleep on its grounds at night. And Baltimore, the Baltimore area, many of the cities around there have gone basically on a war, waging a war on homelessness, and it is actually illegal to be homeless.
No, wait. Though, are they, because I'm not familiar, and you may not be either. I don't know if you read it in the story, because I don't know if it exists, but like, in some cities, when they say they're waging a war on homelessness, they're not just telling people they can't sleep places. Like, they're also trying to provide overnight shelters and things, and they don't want people. Like Baltimore right now, I'm pretty sure they don't want people outside if they can help it, because they're going to end up with a bunch of dead people. Are they like offering them temporary shelter or something? And that's why they want to cite these guys, because they're letting people sleep outside.
I think it's just a matter of it's the same people every. I mean, it's like they got two guys there that have been there for months.
Oh,
yeah, they come every night.
Yeah, but now that it's winter, I'm just wondering if they're saying, you know, we'll put these people up in a shelter because you don't want them out when it's 10 below zero.
Since it's winter, they should open the church and let them sleep inside.
I thought of that as well.
That was one thing that was considered. However,
but that's probably illegal too.
Yeah, they also need permits for that. You can't do that just on a whim. And yeah.
Can't you just walk in and call? What's
asylum?
The thing? Huh?
Asylum?
Yeah. Not asylum. There's some other word for
sanctuary.
It.
Sanctuary.
Sanctuary. I'm calling it sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
For me and all my homeless friends.
Well, the thing is, there aren't enough homeless shelters in Baltimore, Maryland, because it is actually technically illegal to be homeless there. So if they have
shelters.
They
should give them a home. They should give them a home.
Yeah. It's kind of a catch-22. It's illegal to be homeless. So what do we do about housing people that are homeless? Because we can't, because it's illegal.
Housing them isn't illegal. Leaving them out there without a house is illegal.
The city's not going to do it. It may turn into, there will be more will be revealed about this. The church itself, the United Methodist Church, their district has not yet, they're weighing their legal options because they don't want to kick these people off the property because it falls in line with what they believe their calling from God is to serve those who need to be served.
Yes.
There is a possibility that they may try to take it to a First Amendment court decision because there was another church in New York, a Catholic church, that was allowing homeless people to sleep on its steps in the winter because there was a deep alcove and it was sheltered. And the city said, you can't do that. That's trust, blah, 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 and tried to cite them. And they sued the city and won.
Well,
claiming that this was part of religious freedom because.
Oh, I was going to say, how does it get in the First Amendment right?
Because it's the city is attempting to apply laws to basically make a law regarding an establishment of religion, and they're not supposed to do that. And
gotcha.
They won that case. So the steps remained open to people to sleeping there until the spring. So
gotcha.
We shall see.
Gotcha.
But it was a 2-month fine at $200 a day.
Yeah, that's how it ended up being so big. And the congregation is small. It's only like 75 people, so they really can't afford that.
No, not hardly. Is the church at large going to buck up?
If necessarily they would. I mean, there is an emergency fund for various purposes that the church in general keeps, but our lawyers will be in touch.
How about
this?
How about my store's not doing so well? Where's the emergency services for that?
Huh?
You don't get that.
No?
No.
I don't get that?
No,
I don't get any love.
Because you're a proud business owner.
I don't get any love from the church?
You're not a member of the church.
You are.
You are.
Anywho, Bill sent this next story in.
Recovery 101, sponsored in part by Bill Piper.
Yes. Let's see. And when did this happen? Hold on. Because I have to find the date because that is relevant to the rest of the
story.
We got to
see all these people again.
The date is.
Soon.
I know. We really do.
Fran and Bill and.
It was.
Get Robert there and Paul and. Greg and Brian.
Okay.
And
it was sometime in late 1945. It was not actually during the August 9th attack on Nagasaki, Japan. But it was soon after one of our planes with a... Or maybe it was. It says August 9th, 1945. One of our planes carrying a nuclear warhead, one of the very first ones, it was similar to the Fat Man.
Mm-hmm.
Had to be ditched, and the nuclear weapon was never recovered.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. A man diving off the coast of British Columbia, Canada, found
British
it.
Columbia?
Quite a
yes.
tide.
Quite a tide. Found it. It's still intact.
I'm not sure I would want to be down there and suddenly go, oh, shit. That's a nuclear weapon.
He didn't
right
know
there.
What it was at first. He went diving. He comes up. He says, I found the most amazing thing. Now, there's a UFO down there. I don't know what it is.
There's a UFO yeah. down there that can blow me to smithereens.
He didn't know what it was. When the bomb was, when the plane and the bomb were jettisoned, originally the crew parachuted to safety. The plane sank in the Pacific Ocean.
Can you imagine being the guy in the bomb squad that gets this call? Hey, I got something for you yeah. to defuse.
Think it's stable?
That's a nuke.
Yeah. So now, obviously, they're going to send in people, I'm sure, to go and retrieve said object.
Just leave it till some idiot blows themselves up. It's not going to hurt anything down there. It's been down there all this time.
That's yeah. going to put a lot of... I wouldn't be eating sushi for a long time.
Why? You've been eating it up till now.
Yeah, I know, but the leak I don't think is the same
leaking.
As...
Oh, we'll get to that.
It's not leaking. It's intact.
Oh.
Yeah, it's intact.
No, but if it goes off, well, there's going to be plenty of radiation.
Okay. Fran sent this story in.
Bigger
matter
fish.
Of fact, the
bigger
sushi fish. Will come up. The sushi will come up cooked.
Yeah, bigger fish.
With multiple heads.
Yeah.
Fran sent this next story in.
The whole thing's belly cut.
Fantastic.
Belly cut. This happened in
Florida.
Thank you. Lieutenant Scott Mullen. He is a member of the Miami-Dade Fire Rescue Venom Unit.
Fire Rescue Venom?
Yes. They're
poison
people that
unit?
They have the anti-venom to counteract snake bites.
Uh-huh.
So when somebody gets bitten by a snake, that particular unit rolls.
Got it.
So he got a very strange call from a homeowner that found a ball python with its mouth sewn shut. It was a baby ball python. It was out on their back porch, and the homeowner saw it out the window and was like, what's wrong with that snake? Ball pythons are actually very gentle creatures. People keep them as pets. They do not bite.
I've had one.
They don't have fangs like that. They're not that kind of snake. Somebody sewed a baby ball python's mouth shut, and the snake basically went looking for help.
And it couldn't yell.
Yeah, no.
Right.
Also couldn't eat.
The snake, the homeowner captured
the
snake.
Who the hell would do
that? I don't know. It's just nasty. The homeowner captured the snake, and the Lieutenant Mullen came and picked it up and took it to a wildlife rescue place where they have removed the stitches and are treating the snake for a fungal infection because it hadn't been able to open its mouth, basically. So
there was... If they find the people that sewed its mouth shut, maybe they should drop off one of those, I don't know, what is it, coral snake with them.
Sure.
Well, all right then.
Well, I was...
Diamondback.
I was with my clients in Midland, and their neighbor sent them a picture. After it was really windy earlier in the week, he went to go clean his leaf basket out in his pool. And the picture I saw was a stick with about a 3-foot rattlesnake that was in the basket.
Oh,
nice.
And he fortunately pulled the basket out instead of just reaching in to pull the leaves out.
Wow.
Oh, that would have been bad.
They said with all the building going on, they're having quite the rattlesnake problem.
Oh, I guess.
When I was like 12 or 13, we were doing training hikes to go on a High Sierras hike. Mm-hmm. And we were in the Cucamonga Wilderness. And we get to this campsite, and my scoutmaster looks at my friend John's boot and goes, "Oh, wow." And there was a rattlesnake embedded, like, that had struck and hit the rubber part of his boot. Uh-huh. There was not a lot of the snake left. Like, it was probably on, he was, like, bringing up the back. It was probably on there for, like, several miles. So he's walking and hiking. It just shredded the snake off the back. But, yeah. Yeah.
Makes the case for wearing a good stout set of boots.
Yes.
When you're going hiking.
Or good hiking boots when you're hiking.
Yeah. Fran sent this story in.
Fantastic.
And this also happened in
Florida.
In Orlando, actually. Kristen Michelle Wilson.
Three names.
Well, but it's not a drug story.
Why
interestingly
are we doing
enough.
It?
Not yet.
Why are we
it's
doing
not.
It? She's making history.
Why?
She is about to become the very first female ringmaster for Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus.
I saw that.
Yes. She will make her debut in Orlando.
The very first? Really? After all this time? Because they have, you know, the, what
they've
you call
never
it?
Had a female.
The other one.
Circus Vargas.
Circus Vargas has had them before, I'm pretty sure.
The real one.
Yeah, Circus Vargas kind of sucks.
I thought Circus Vargas was pretty good because there's not a whole lot of circus around anymore.
No, there's not.
Like, there hasn't been a Barnum and Bailey Circus in California for years and years and years.
There was.
When?
I just went and saw it 2 years ago.
Really?
Yeah, they travel around.
They have like three or four, more than that, because I can get them on iTex. But they have, like in many locations every year.
Yeah.
The
Circus Vargas.
Circus Vargas.
Yeah. I just went and saw Ringling Brothers Barnum and Bailey Circus a couple years ago.
I heard they're not using elephants anymore. I heard that they said they were going to stop using elephants. And like, Pet or someone was, like, real all, yay.
Well, maybe that's a recent thing, because they did see a
snippet. They took him out for a steak dinner, and they backed off.
Kind of. I saw a snippet of a story that at the Ringling in Florida, the Ringling Brothers Elephant Sanctuary, they had Christmas dinner early for the elephants, and all the elephants came, and they gave them special food, and everybody celebrated with them.
Let them open a present.
Yeah, they opened a present. It was a bag of peanuts.
Was it?
I don't know.
The one I saw was Crystal Goblets.
Ah. Oh. They must have been registered for that.
Waterford.
Anyway, congratulations to Kristen Michelle Wilson.
Yep.
And that is kind of fantastic.
That is awesome.
What's this world coming to?
Amazing things.
Someday we may let y'all vote.
Wondrous things to behold. Yes. Maybe you might. You might.
Might. I've been in Texas all week, so.
Yeah, you're going to start drawing.
The world's different there.
I bet it is. Fran sent this story in. North Carolina woman, she disappeared in 2011 as a teenager, Rachel Natcha Owens.
I think I saw something about that.
Apparently went to great lengths to hide her whereabouts. She was 15 when she disappeared.
She was running away, I think. I mean, they thought she disappeared, but she was running away and managed to get herself fake ID and all that stuff, right?
Yeah, she went to some pretty incredible lengths to get a fake ID that had a different birth date on it, so she was older and could get a job. And she's been in Columbus, Ohio the whole time, working, living, doing her thing. She just dropped off the face of the earth.
So,
different name, everything.
So what caused her? I mean, how did they find her? What caused her? How did it resolve itself? Was she trying to be found again? Did she call family or something? What happened?
No, she didn't. The FBI received anonymous information that Owens was living in Ohio and going by the name of Raquel.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because, you know, if it's a kid that goes missing, they stay on the FBI list until they're either
found
or not.
Long?
I mean,
well, it's...
She was 15 when she disappeared in 2011. She's 21 now.
Okay.
So, when does that become not the FBI looking for a kid anymore?
Never.
If they disappeared when they're a kid, they stay on the list until they're found.
Huh. That's interesting. It just seems weird that if... I know they disappeared when they were a kid, but now they're 20.
One.
21.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I think if you're missing, you stay on the list until you're found. Even if you're an adult
that's missing.
The adults go on the FBI list, too?
If you're an adult that's missing, yeah.
Oh. Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah, I know. That makes sense.
Yeah. 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 My kid's missing. How old are they? 19? Oh, well.
Well, forget
it.
They're just going to be missing.
Yeah.
The hell with
you. Look for them for a week.
Fran sent this
story. He's in a safe space.
What's Fran up to?
Fran is busy sending us stories, apparently.
Can you live this fantasy life?
Titans were on the road this week, so.
Oh, maybe that's it. Ow. This is the Postal Worker Above and Beyond Award of the Week. This happened in UK, in the UK.
UK.
Did they deliver a bunch of mail to the... to the local courthouse and save Santa?
No.
Like Miracle on 34th Street?
Sometimes I don't know where you get shit.
It just comes to him.
It just does out of nowhere.
He's colorful.
The letter started in the U.S., but the sender didn't actually have the address. So what they did was they addressed it to Tony and Sarah Wren, somewhere near the sea in Suffolk.
Wow.
The postal worker, I'm looking for his name. His last name is Anthony, 42 years old. Spent 4 days trying to find Tony and Sarah Wren before he finally did. And the pair said they were amazed to receive the Christmas card because they would have just...
They've been doing their best to hide since 2011.
Yes.
By the sea,
you know,
by the beautiful sea.
You know, there was a thing years ago, but it was talking about the U.S. Postal Service and how many really strangely addressed things. Like, they've had things where there was a bunch of drawings of a guy holding flags, so they had to get a guy that knew flag signaling to figure out where it was going. I think these days they just send it back. But there was all kinds of strange...
I think it goes in the dead letter drop.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of strange things like that.
Okay, and finally, and this one made me lol.
Sure.
The Christmas McCafe Cup from McDonald's is now being called the Naughty Festive Mittens Cup.
What?
The cup is supposed to be a holiday themed cup. It's red. It's got like snowflakes on it and stuff. And it has a pair of mittens on it.
That are like a hand bra?
With two little hands on the other sides of the mittens. Like, when you look at it, when you first
look
at it.
Does it look like boobs?
No, let me finish. When you first look at it, when I very first saw the picture, I said, oh, it's mittens. And then I kind of looked at it for a minute and I said, wait a minute. Because when you look at it for more than like 10 seconds, it looks like somebody bending over and using their hands to pull their butt cheeks apart.
What?
The graphic designer for McDonald's really needed to rethink that design in a big way. And it's all over the internet now, and they're calling it the Naughty Festive Mittens Cup.
Naughty Festive.
Bruce is looking it up right now.
Yeah, it's taking too long for this to come up, though. I'll give you my impression of it when we come back from break.
Okay. And that, my excellent friends, is the end of the boozy news.
Hey everyone, it's Bruce from Recovery 101 Radio. Hey, I'm here to talk about my 12-step store. Let me tell you guys, my 12-step store is the ultimate place, online or in person in West Hollywood, to buy recovery gifts no matter what program you're interested in. They've got bling chips, they've got regular chips, they've got medallions, they've got books of every kind. They've got every kind of recovery gift you can even think of. This place is absolutely fantastic. Let me tell you something. A bit of every sale goes to sponsor people to get into recovery homes and sober living houses. It's an awesome place. RJ and his staff will take outstanding care of you. My 12-step store is located online, of course, at my12stepstore.com. If you'd like to go visit them in person, they're at 8730 Santa Monica Boulevard in the fabulous city of West Hollywood, California. You can call them at 310-623-1702. That's one more time. That's 310-623-1702. You should call them up. Do yourself a favor, and the ones you love, call my12stepstore.com.
Recovery 101 Radio is a program based loosely on 12-step recovery programs. The format is less like a meeting and more like going to coffee afterwards. The meeting after the meeting, as it were. We used to suffer from insanity. Now we enjoy it. Find us at recovery101.net.
We're back. Hi there and hello again.
Howdy, howdy.
So I looked up the picture. When it's just the mittens,
yeah,
it looks like mittens.
Right.
However, someone has drawn hands on it, and it looks fantastically like someone bent over showing their ass.
And you're upset you didn't think of it first, huh?
Yeah. No, I would definitely go to McDonald's and take a Sharpie pen with me and draw that on every time.
Sure.
I think it's...
Of course you would.
Fantastic. Oh, no. Yeah, if I was in the back at McDonald's, I might even draw some of them on there before I send them out.
Sure.
And get now, I'd be looking for a new job, but yeah. Still.
On your last day.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be fantastic. So, we have a topic.
Which one?
Yeah, what is the topic?
Wasn't it something, there was, just one.
Just one?
Just one topic.
The Lay's potato chip
just
topic.
One topic.
Just one. Oh, you know what? I do have to do a shout-out before we begin.
Shout. Shout. Let it all out.
Because I forgot to do it at the Boozy News. A belly button birthday. Happy birthday to our listener, Tiffany.
Oh, cool.
It's her belly button birthday.
Happy birthday, Tiffany.
And also, on an unrelated note, I got an email from a listener who shall not be named because I don't know that she wants her business splashed everywhere.
Her business?
Commending us for doing a fine show on, which one was it? I think it was Enough Is Enough.
Well, there's so many that it could be.
I know. No, I think it was the most recent one that we put up, Enough Is Enough. Because she's been kind of stalling, stagnant in her recovery. She's been listening to the show, and she really likes it. But that show really struck a chord with her, and it's now motivating her to, you know, ramp up her program and actually get some work done and stuff.
Good.
You know what?
Which
that's
we are
why
here.
We
are here to
it.
Be of service.
Well, yeah. And the funny thing is, because I emailed her back and said, you know, I really appreciated her letting me know that, because every Sunday I'm sitting in the testosterone zone, sitting here going, why am I here? What am I doing? And I kind of feel like we could be perceived as though this is just a giant ego stroke doing the show.
Well, it is, but.
Well, I am not some kind of freaking guru. I am not speaking down to anyone from a spiritual or moral hilltop. I am just here saying, yes, I'm just as messed up as the rest of you, and here's what I do.
You know what that email proves?
That somebody's listening? That one person listened?
This is just like a meeting.
No, it is not. But.
Yes.
The fact that it actually helps somebody really makes me feel a lot better about doing it in general.
Well, how about this?
And I know that we, from time to time, do get emails like that, so it's nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if you remember the first time that I realized, you know, I mean, I knew people listen to stuff, but I got an email from someone named Carol, who actually friended me on Facebook and said, you know, I saw some link you put up, and I went and checked out the show, and, you know, I'd been having a hard time with my recovery, and now I've seen this, and it's all good. And then we also had, and she's got, like, years now, and we also had Franny, who said, you know, I'm in... you know, in Tennessee, there's a flood. I work with the football stadium and everything's all jacked up and I can't really go to meetings and you guys are really helping me get through. Yes. So there's two or three really specific.
Well, and then you had the guys in Bangladesh.
Oh my God. Who all wanted to be sponsored.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because we do get hurt in a lot of countries. Who is on the phone? Was that God calling?
No, it was our daughter.
Oh. Is she coming to get her hookah stuff?
She wants us to bring her hookah stuff.
Well, we can't, so she's out of luck. So.
I thought you guys were smoking hashish the other day. I wasn't going to say
the shout out.
No,
the shout out is out.
Yep.
Yes.
And so, Mark.
Yeah.
How are we going to go about this topic?
What topic?
Just one.
Oh, just one?
I mean, that would be okay, right?
Yeah.
I mean, just one to just do one. To do a well, topic, just one? That'd be all right. Just one.
I've had people
We never
ask
have to do
me.
Another one.
Yeah. I've had people ask me, you know, you mean after all this time.
You can't have just one?
You can't just have, like, a glass of wine?
And you say, well, I could.
Yeah, I was going to say, yeah, I can. Yeah.
Unless you ever want to see me again.
Yeah.
There's no law saying I can't. Yeah.
But let me explain to you what's happened every time I've started with a glass of wine.
Yes. Every time.
Yeah.
Glass,
and by the
amateur.
Way, and by the way, while you're bringing that up, let me take a quick inventory of your house.
Yes.
Because I'll be stopping back by.
Yes. When you're asleep.
Yeah. You know.
Give your dog some Ambien right now. Because I might be back later.
And since we are in the holiday season, I mean, you know.
Right.
Christmas, New Year's.
So we got New Year's coming up.
And what I think is always the worst day, about 3 days after New Year's, when you dropped your guard.
True. Well, you know, and I think
that's true.
I think that many, certainly not all, but many alcoholics in this time of year, including Thanksgiving and Christmas and all that, we put our guard up.
Yeah.
Like really put it up.
Oh, yeah.
And but this is also a time of year when it's a New Year's party, when it was a Christmas party, when your coworkers or something just says, you could just have like one, right? As long as you don't get crazy.
Yeah.
And how many times are people on shaky ground when they hear that and they go, you know, they're like, hasn't it been like 4 months since you had anything? Just one isn't going to, you know, I mean,
well,
come on. You can do it.
Part of the thing is I see more and more people in the program today who protect their anonymity to the point of not protecting themselves.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, I'm going to, you know, you get that call from the sponsee. I'm going to a Christmas party and I'm really nervous about going. Why are you nervous about going? Well, nobody knows I'm an alcoholic. Okay.
Well, you can go and you can drink and you can just let everyone know at the same time.
That's right. Yeah, start drinking. Everybody will know you're an alcoholic by about 10:30.
Yeah.
But, you know, but the thing is, there's such a stigma to not participating in the revelry. And you know what's really funny? There really isn't. Other people don't care if you don't drink.
Know, it's more for them.
We care.
And it's more for them.
Yeah. We care that people might think we don't drink.
Hey, when I was an alcoholic and I'd go to a party and there's like limited booze or limited free booze.
Yeah.
And there's the one guy that's not drinking. I'm like, I'll have his.
Yeah.
Well, my daughter, she had a party like around
Halloween.
Uh-huh.
She was very stressed because, you know, I told her I'd come to the party. She's like, Dad, there's going to be weed smoking. There's going to be alcohol. And she's like, doesn't that bother you? I'm like, ha, 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 ha. You don't have enough. And she was like, what? And you know what? The entire time I'm there, I'm sure I wasn't the only one not drinking. Nobody said boo to me about it. It never got brought up at all.
We're the ones who care.
Yeah, we're the only guys that
care. The perception might be.
Yeah.
You know.
It's the only guy.
And so, you know, it's a time where our thinking tends to get us in trouble.
Yeah, clearly.
Because it's our thinking of how everybody else thinks of us.
Right.
Because none of us feel that people have a particularly high opinion of us anyway.
True.
Neither do we.
No one can have as high an opinion of me as I have of myself.
Yeah, but we're weird.
We are weird.
We think we're way smarter than the average bear, and we suck.
I had a sponsee. I had a sponsee who told me.
I have never sucked, not even once.
Yeah. I had a sponsee who told me his biggest problem was he realized his biggest problem the day he was sitting and thought he was the smartest guy in jail.
Yeah, he probably was.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Maybe not. He got caught.
Yeah. He goes. It dawned on me when I'm listening to people talking. I'm going, I'm the smartest guy here. And I realize I'm in jail.
So, Shelley, come on, just one. You could have one. It's been 10 years.
You know, the funny thing was the whole time when I was in a binge state and I was drinking, I was constantly chasing the magical one.
Yeah.
That magical one. It was
the one.
We
live in California. Is that a binge state?
One.
Yeah. I think it is.
Yeah.
The good second hit.
Yeah. But it was like, and actually that's one of the things I identified with when I first went to CA, because I'm not a coke. I never did coke.
Uh-huh.
And you guys would do the reading and you'd say that the thing that constantly always eluded us, and everybody would shout out a good second hit. And I was like, the good second drink.
Yeah.
And I totally identified with that. But for me, it was always, I'd get up every morning. I'm just going to have one today. Just, you know, even out the rough edges at the end of the day. Just the one. And then it would become, well, okay, just two. By the time I got to three, I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to say that word.
Oh, my virgin ears.
But
you know what's really funny? You would tell yourself on a daily basis, I'm going to have one.
Right.
And then as you seriously wanted it to just be one, you went from a highball glass.
Yes.
To a tumbler.
Yes.
And then from a tumbler to a big gulp.
Yes.
And then
to a water bottle or something.
Yeah.
Somewhere in this house, I actually own a shot glass that's 8 ounces. It's actually looks like a shot glass. But it's 8 ounces.
And?
I know. Because it was like, well, I'm just going to have one. Oh, look, here.
I suppose that's hidden in the other room now.
I have no idea where it is.
With their bottle.
Yeah.
No, I have no idea where it was. Actually in the cupboard for a long time. And no,
I've seen it.
Yeah. And I was joking about it with Courtney one day. Maybe she took it. I have no idea. Or we put it out at a yard sale. I don't remember. But
she's like, I only had one.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
But yeah, there was some mental magic going on there with the one that became larger and larger, and you know, the amount of cranberry juice versus vodka, the mix became quite diluted on the cranberry side, and
yeah,
because you know,
my drink got pinker and pinker.
Yeah, instead of redder and redder, exactly. Yeah, and it never ever happened, and that was part of what became the desperation later on, because I was so desperate to only have the one, and I never could. And I couldn't figure out why I couldn't. And it was a major failing. And I was clearly doing it wrong. And that became, at that point, was when I'm crying every day because I can't stop drinking. So, yeah.
I had it, you know, the big book says, if you're not sure you're an alcoholic, go to the local bar and try some controlled drinking.
Yep.
Unfortunately, I did that. I went to the Boar's Head.
Uh-huh.
Night one,
the horse bed,
had one drink, put it down, had, you know, a couple sodas, danced a little bit, went home. I said, I'm clearly not an alcoholic, because I always thought I was a drug addict, but I said, I'm not an alcoholic. I said, I didn't have a second drink. I don't even feel like having a second drink. I couldn't figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
The next day, I said, I better go back because I didn't really catch a buzz. I think you need to catch a buzz to kick off the phenomenon of craving, maybe. Mm-hmm. So I have two. Same thing. Dance
not,
a couple
not realizing
times.
The phenomenon of craving has already been kicked off.
I have, you know, dance a couple times, have the two, drink some sodas, go home. Get up in the morning. I'm like, I'm clearly not an alcoholic. I said, you know, but really, I didn't really catch a buzz. I'm going to go. I'm going to have four drinks tonight. Four. Because I know for sure I'll catch a buzz on four. Now, I've already gone from one to four in 2 days, you know.
Yeah.
And I go in, I bam, 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 have the four, start to have a soda. A guy walks up I haven't seen in a long time. He goes, hey, Bruce, I haven't seen you in a long time. I said, well, I've been getting sober. And he looks in front of me. He goes, you got four empties on the table in front of you. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Let's go get some shit. And I said, okay.
Okay.
And you know what? It's like you said, the obsession was building without my knowledge.
Oh yeah.
Something just occurred to me when you're talking about that you're going from one to four. There's a friend on my Facebook friend list or whatever. He's been sober a long time, or clean because he's an NNA. And he didn't smoke, nothing. I mean, he quit smoking the whole bit. And he posted one day, he said, if you ever want to test to see whether you're still an addict without actually doing any drugs, any illegal drugs, if you're a non-smoker now, try smoking one cigarette. He went from one cigarette, end of the week, he's smoking a pack again.
Oh, yeah, easy.
Yeah. So if you think you're not an addict or you don't have an addictive personality,
you know what's interesting, though, is how it worked, Bruce, because you went one, then you went to two. You didn't go to three.
No, right. You know
from two to four.
I doubled every day. I doubled
every time.
Yeah, you're the backgammon drinking game of life.
Yeah, exactly.
Double.
And if that guy hadn't come up, because to be honest with you, I really believe I probably could have stopped at those four. Because even though I look at myself as
being... So it wasn't your fault.
Well, even though I look at myself as being an alcoholic, at that time, I probably could... I mean, to me, four, you know, I can catch a buzz on four. Four is probably fine. Yeah. But then I would have been like, you know, I don't know. Maybe I need six or eight tomorrow. Just to make sure.
Yeah, but... Well, because the problem is not the alcohol, it's the ism.
Right. It's the I, self, and me. At Impact House, they used to have stickers you could put on your mirror in the bathroom that said, you are looking at the problem.
Yeah.
Which was oh so true.
Oh, I saw something sweet on Facebook. Speaking of Facebook today, a mom that I know, her daughter wanted to know what God looked like. And without even thinking about it, I typed out, tell her to look in a mirror.
Ooh.
And I put a little heart, and I was like, oh. And then later on, I thought about it. Oh, that's really good. That's true. God is everywhere. Anyway, carry on.
Little girl's got a total ego complex now. She's like, thank you.
I'm God?
I'm in control now. She goes, that's funny, because I told my mom to do something. She said, no.
You're going to hell.
Yeah,
I will smite her.
Me damn her. So then, Shelly.
Yes.
What would your final words on, come on, you can, just one. You can have just one. Just 100.
All of the addicts I know can't have one of anything. You can't have one drink, one smoke, one shot, one whatever. You can't even have one particular, you can't even have one cat. We can't have one of anything. Because if one is good, a million is better.
How many husbands do you have?
And it just... Well, I've had two. I only have one currently.
One at a time.
See, so I'm already past you there.
If you want to avoid...
I had three.
If you want to avoid the million, don't have the one.
Okay. Mark?
I like that. If you don't want to have the million, have the one. Yeah. I say something we've said on the show a lot. When you think about having one... Play that tape through all the way to the end to
good
how
advice.
It's been every time.
I was torn. Because certainly the don't drink or use no matter what
yes.
comes into play.
Yes.
But I think that the typical program cliche fits even better, which is one is too many and 1,000 is never enough. So Shelley... There's this really cool shirt company online.
Oh, yes, called Terminally Unique Apparel. Oh, we have another order to send out tomorrow, by the way.
Got to get it there for Christmas.
Yeah.
Oh, it's already after Christmas. Never mind.
Oh, right. Yeah. Forgot. go to terminallyuniqueapparel.com. You can peruse our shirt designs and order some. That would be awesome.
And where else do they sell those? Is it where our...
Our fabulous sponsor
is?
Yes. My12stepstore.com.
Fabulous.
And you can also go to My 12 Step Store, the brick and mortar location in West Hollywood. They
yes.
have all of your recovery swag needs, anything that you want, books.
Pretty much.
Pillows with little mottos on them, playing cards.
They have cool little CA necklaces.
They have everything. They have everything.
They literally do.
Look them up.
Mark, we have friends back east in the Inland Empire.
We do?
Yes.
Oh, that'd be the 12-Step Gazette at 12stepgazette.com.
.com.
And step12magazine.com.
.com, part two. Yeah.
And you can go up onto those sites and check out their publications and support those that support us.
Awesome. Shelley, people listen to the show.
Thank you. Anyway, that you listen to the show, we really appreciate it. But if you could go to our website, recovery101.net. Click on one of the shows. Click like or permalink. If you're a member of Podomatic, you've just been counted. Thank you very much. That helps us with our demographics. If you are not a member, you will have the opportunity to become a member. It is free.
And fun.
And you can listen to old shows. You can like shows. You can leave comments, topic suggestions. You can put us on playlists for your party needs. Or, you know, if you have a long bus trip, that would be good, too. Put us on your playlist. And you can follow so you get automatic updates when we post the shows.
If you are Facebook friendly, it is super de duper easy to join Podomatic. All you got to do is click join with Facebook and it'll log you right in. You can do all the things Shelley was talking about. If you are Facebook friendly, you can like the Recovery 101 Radio Show fan page. If you are looking for the Recovery 101 secret group, yes, it's difficult to find because it's a secret. That group has many of the people you will hear mentioned in the show. People like Bill and Robert and Greg and Fran and all those guys. And you can banter about with them. And that's very cool. If you are wanting to send us an email with topic suggestions or a jingle that you've written for us or you want to be used as lead out music, you can send that to recovery101radio@gmail.com. If you would like us to use your music or comedy as lead out material, please send us some MP3s. That's the preferred format. You need to send us a photograph that you would like us to turn into a clickable link for you. And then we need a web address that clickable link goes to, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or SoundCloud or Reverb Nation or something like that where you sell your stuff. We'll be more than happy to do it. We've got videos at youtube.com/easylook and youtube.com/recovery101 rule 62.
Do not take yourself so damn seriously.
We do not. Shelley, who's the lead out music by?
Our friend Doug.
Falling Down. Everybody try and leave it better than you found it and be the example.
We're out.
And take care of you.
I never see this is how it is.